advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
Normally be fading out right now, so I'm gonna let it go. I didn't fix it, so I don't give a shit. Cut.
We'll fix that in post.
No, we won't. I'm fucking leaving it. I'll fix it next week.
That sucks.
People don't care. People just don't care, and you know what?
I know people right over here that cares.
You know what I did get, though, that fixed my back?
What's that?
Sleep Number adjustable bed.
Yeah? Yeah. Is there a new sponsor?
I wish.
Me too. Yeah, I'll take one.
Give me one.
It didn't make a difference, though?
Fuck yeah. Yeah. You ever felt like you didn't have a spine?
No.
Like you can't feel your spine? Like that's what I woke up with this morning.
Wow. You're spineless.
I don't see very good, but I don't think it has anything to do with that.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I bet you got a ghetto-ass old mattress.
Yeah, I do. We talked about hills and valleys.
I got the
fucking...
The hills have eyes.
The Tetons.
On.
Yeah. He found it, remember?
Yeah, it was
stolen from the lady.
An old lady.
Oh, that's right.
She died on the mattress.
I did get
while after having an orgasm.
You talked about it. I realized, I do need to go and like flip my mattress.
Yeah.
And
there's spaghetti stains on that
shit. It's a fucking bitch.
What do you mean?
They're heavy.
Dude, a fucking California King.
Yeah. So
double pillow top mattress.
Yeah, the dudes carry.
That motherfucker is heavy as fuck. Like fully flip and rotate solo.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God.
Well, I wrestled my mattress. This. That fucking thing was it weighs 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Like fucking insane. The Sleep Number one though, it's literally fucking air pockets. It's fucking like you can just pick it up and throw like your fucking bed skirt, you know, deal underneath it. Like it's fucking light.
That made me mad if I paid $2,600 and didn't weigh anything.
Hey, as long as you put
some lead in the bottom of that shit, make me feel like I got my money's worth.
Hey, the dude was super cool too. So if you have a Sleep Number, the guy that delivered it, fucking super cool. He's like, hey, he's like, if you want it a little bit softer, he's like, don't go to the Sleep Number. He's like, just go buy one of those nice fucking foam tops.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, unzip the mattress, put it in there. He's like, you got yourself a C5, like a fucking $4,000 bed. That's how they do it.
You just got that salesman in trouble.
Yeah. No, I didn't say his name. Oh. They don't know my name.
Johnny Rockets.
Yes.
That's his name.
Really?
Yeah.
That's his name.
Johnny Rockets. Was he own a restaurant?
Yes. Thank you to Mike Sullivan. I think this is pretty old. This fan might not even be listening anymore.
Probably
but
not. Most of the fans aren't listening anymore.
Yeah. According to stats they are, but it's like a transition to new fans and
that's
old fans
me.
Fell off.
I don't have anything else to do. I just go on there and re-listen to episodes on different IP addresses. Yeah.
I'd like to think the government got the old fans.
I think so.
Oh, maybe.
The ones that aren't talking anymore.
Yeah, maybe. Bag over the head at 3 a.m. and shuffled them out.
Yeah.
They're in a FEMA camp right now.
Rex in Colombia. He's gone.
He wasn't Colombia. He was in Brazil.
Oh, Brazil. Same.
He had a podcast. I thought about him the other day because I was cleaning out our scary Mr. Spreckles room and the fucking food from Brazil is, there's like weird ass Brazil treats.
Oh, no, it's still in there.
Yeah. She tried it. Brazil treats.
Yeah.
Was it safe in the first place?
Yeah.
No, probably not.
It's as safe now as it was then.
It might have killed Mr. Spreckles. We haven't seen him in a while. This whiskey has been staying, like, you know, relatively full.
Yeah.
He had to start eating crickets because he couldn't eat those cookies anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I did my glass clank with Knob Creek from Mike Sullivan. That's an old name, though. I don't even remember that name. Honestly, I haven't had Knob Creek in a while.
Who is Mike Sullivan?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That is the question.
Someone's going to make a fake account just so they can shine in the glorious.
Glorious. I also bask in the fame.
Before we get started, I want to give a disclaimer. about our last episode.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a proper thing to do.
If you're about to listen to the last episode, just be warned that there's a lot of explicit sexual content.
The one before this
one. The one before this one.
Yeah.
I don't have, there's like, nothing, we don't have to worry about this
if
one.
If you're like 16 or under, you shouldn't listen to it.
It's the shittiest spoiler alert ever. Like, spoiler alert. Yeah. You already listened to it.
Spoiler alert.
I just wanted to.
So I need to tell a Yucateco story. I actually have one. I went, my buddy's been bugging me to like, hey, come have a beer. But this dude coaches soccer. He's been on the show. It's my buddy Jordan. And he always wants me to go to Bootleggers over on Oak Street. It's pretty close to my house, actually. It's not a crazy request, but.
It's only about a mile away.
He wants to, this sounds funny. I'm gonna date myself in the shower all day long right now. he wants me to meet him at like 8:45, which actually ends up being nine, right?
In the morning?
PM.
Alcoholics.
For a beer. And I'm like, fuck, 9 o'clock, dude. I don't know if I could do that. I have dinner. It's like fucking 6 o'clock rolls around. I'm sitting on the couch and watch Parks and Rec or whatever I'm watching. And then like, I'm like, I want to go get a whiskey or something. Maybe I'm gonna have a beer. I can't do that. So I'm sitting there, I'm chilling. And I'm like, it's shorts time, man. I just want to fucking chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
I want to be in my underwear and watch
shorts time.
Yeah. I want to watch Netflix and fucking kick my shit off, you know?
Yep.
And 9 o'clock was a fucking long way away, but I made it. And I get there. And we got Citra, which I don't know. Other people probably won't know. It's Kern River Brewing. It's like some crazy 8% alcohol award-winning. It's amazing. There used to be like a lottery where it used to be you had to go wait in line, drive up the canyon for a fucking hour, wait in line to get it. Then they switched
it to
was
that in the 1900s or is it like?
No, this is like the last couple of years. And then it became a lottery where if you won the lottery, you had a chance to be able to buy a six-pack. That's how fucking crazy limited it was because the hops, you can only buy the hops at a certain time or something. But I'm not a beer snob. I don't give a fuck. It's been out for years. I finally waited until like, oh, they have it on tap at this place. But I guess only for a couple days because it'll still be gone. So we meet. We have that. And I got fucking trashed on accident because I had one of them. And I was like,
it was no accident.
I'm pretty fucking dizzy right now.
You went there knowing what you were going to do.
The bartender's like, hey, you want another one? And I was like,
fucking out.
Yeah, I'll have one more. And so I had one more. And then I was like, no more after that. I'm fucking wrecked. Like, I can't drive if I have another one. And then finally, she asked him if he wanted another round. He's like, yeah, two more. I was like, no. And he's like, yeah, two more. Car. She's like, two more? I was like, no. I don't want another one. And she fucking sets one down. What was I going to do? Yeah. I had to drink it, right?
Can't let it go to waste. Yeah. It's only there for 2 days.
But we're sitting there talking about, you know, I don't know, doing stand-up comedy and all this stuff. And just we're talking. But like the bartender, it's a girl. And she's like, just fucking, I was like, what's on the other side of that counter? It's this whole fucking bar. It's like, you know, 30 feet long.
Throwing her arms around.
No, she's only right in front of us. Like, yeah. I was like, what is she doing there? Is she fake washing dishes? I feel like she's listening to our conversation. I was like, are you listening to everything we're saying? And she's like, no. I'm in and out of it. Well, I did hear Brian. Did you talk about Brian Ross? And I was like, oh, I am talking about Brian Ross. That's weird. And she's like, you probably know my boyfriend, Marcus Cloud. I was like, I fucking do know your boyfriend, Marcus Cloud. And we start talking. And then she asked me if that's hot sauce on my keychain. This is a really long El Yucateco story. And I was like, it is hot sauce. It's for the podcast, blah, blah, blah. I explain the situation. And then I get her to try the hot sauce. And she fucking like dumps it across her hand. Like she's going to lick salt.
Coke line?
And take a tequila shot. I thought tequila shot. You think Coke. Yeah. But she fucking... She licks that shit off her hand, and I was like, hey, just only like the one drop. Wipe the other one off. Don't eat all that. It's pretty spicy. And Jordan's like, no. Like, he wants to see it happen. And she fucking does it all. She's like, oh, it's really good. And then her fucking eyes start to water, and then she's like, oh. And, like, apparently she didn't even get the other drop. She went over and started washing her hands and shit. But she liked the hot sauce, and I got the bartender to lick hot sauce off of her hand from my pocket sauce bottle.
That's rough because your pocket sauce bottle was
fucking... No, it's a brand new pocket
sauce. No, he's got a new bottle. That old one.
That shit like a one-eyed dog that nobody wants anymore.
That one had never been opened. It was a brand new bottle. Yeah. It was entirely safe. Yeah. I put LSD in it, but yeah.
Should look like an alley cat.
So Marcus, you need to talk to your girl. She'd be drinking pocket sauce at the bar from strange men that just claimed to know friends off her hand.
Don't even know it's in
I could have drugged her is all I'm saying.
Could have Cosby'd her. She's over.
Marcus is a handsome man. His name is Marcus Cloud. That's like a superhero name. Huh. Right? That's like a pro wrestler or something. Yeah. Marcus Cloud? You don't think that's a cool name?
Mm.
It's better than Brent Van Tassel.
Yes.
Sound like fucking a Dutch dumbass. I don't know. I don't like
a Dutch dumbass. It's better than my real name, but yeah.
You're not going to say it, huh?
No.
I have a different name, too. I have two social security cards. that have two different names on them same number.
I'm fucking jealous.
I'm like Jason Bourne.
Don't we all? Isn't that normal?
No, I've got one.
Aren't you from like Cuba or somewhere?
No.
Like Dominican?
No.
Where are you from?
Detroit.
Huh. That's like I have three names
if you count Wiggy Yellow.
I do have
AKA names. Pigeon Father.
I do have three names.
I'm getting pretty gangster, really, because I got Wiggy Yolo, AKA Yolo. Pigeon Father.
Or Wigger Yolo.
I have an alias on my passport. It says this passport bearer also travels under the name. I'm not telling you guys.
See, that's what I want. Mystery. Like, I need a fucking alias.
Yeah. I have an alias on my record.
It's fucking dope.
I don't have one on my I don't have a passport.
Yeah. Mm. I'm ready to go. When the FEMA name. Camps come down, I'm
I got one name. It's kind of better.
Yeah. Madonna has one name.
Confusion.
Prince has one name.
You know, you're trying to get something on credit. You only got one name. You don't have to worry about it.
That's true.
You pass over the box that says, you know, other names used.
I told you when I got, when you register for selective services, they fucked up. Like, they sent me one for one of my last names. So you kind of do it without giving away my other last name. Yeah. They give me one for my real last name, one for my last name I currently go by, Van Tassel, and then one that was just completely mixed up that said Asshole Brent Van M. So it's Brent Michael Van Tassel. And then it was Asshole Brent Van M. And yeah, so then I was
trying to get you. They're like, this guy's like, not going
to
sign
I don't know
up.
What to do. Like, I'm supposed to register two of these I'm supposed to do. So they call and I was like, hey, here's the deal. I have two last names. I'm getting selected both times. You can't draft me twice. They're like, fill them both out. I was like, what about Asshole Brent Van M? That's not me. I'm not signing that. And so they're like, disregard. That's not even a name, right? That's not you. Like, you can't be held accountable. And then I just kept getting scary fucking calls from the military or whatever power that be.
Where is Asshole?
Yeah. I kept getting letters that I had
drop
not
down
registered.
And give me 20 more.
That I hadn't registered for selective services and all these things were going to happen. But it was tied to my social.
Yeah. You're
fucked. So I was like, fuck.
They're probably still looking for you today.
Yeah, they are.
Ansel.
The G-men are still after you.
Ansel and Gretzel.
Hansel, Gretel, Van M.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my story about selective services and El Yucateco.
I don't remember the El Yucateco part.
It was my buddy's waitress. Girl licking pocket sauce off her hand. She could have been drugged, could have been killed.
It was a test. We're just letting you know, Marcus.
I could have just showed her stamps.
What's his name, Marcus?
Marcus Cloud.
Marcus Cloud. We're just letting you know, Marcus.
That's like a superhero name.
Is it? I don't think so.
I like the way you think, Dave. It's better than Brad Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
When you make suits?
My name, I have a
long line
I have a black name.
Family.
What am I supposed to do with my slave name?
Taylor? It's true.
Taylor's a black name?
Fuck, yeah, it is.
Oh, those fucking slaves. Mine's white as fuck. Von Tassel.
Yeah, that's pretty white.
I used to whip my grandpa, my great 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 grandpa used to whip bitches and pour wax in their wounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It sounds.
Wait a minute. Do we have to give a disclaimer on this episode too?
No, we'll do it at the end.
We should have a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode. Honestly.
Yeah, we'll see. If it's
we should
call
the disclaimer podcast.
Disclaimer at the end.
Yeah. We can't. But now we're stealing. See, I got Bob. The other guy was talking about with the foot fetish that wanted to work at Ladies Foot Locker. Right. His show's already doing that.
Like, disclaimer podcast.
Yeah, and I had nothing to do with it, Bob. I know you listen. I didn't say anything about it.
Disclaimer podcast?
No, they just use the disclaimer thing.
Oh.
That's like their thing.
Oh, lots of people do that, I'm sure.
Oh, so you want to steal it from them is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying lots of people do it. Bob, they're not like pioneers.
Bob, He wants to
bite your moves.
No, I didn't say they were being original. I just said they're already doing it.
He wants to bite your moves like a whack MC.
What's something else?
Bob, I'd like to say I have size 12 and a half feet and a bottle of Jergens lotion.
He doesn't listen.
Oh.
I was just kidding. No, he does.
All right, we should talk about stuff.
We have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like
you're saying we should talk about different stuff.
You're actually putting me to sleep.
The topic at hand. Yeah.
So the topic at hand is a person who a lot of people might not have ever heard of, Jimmy Iovine. And his name is weird because it doesn't look like it should be Iovine.
Iovine.
Snoop called him Iovine, eating linguine. Like, yeah. So I was like, fuck, how do you say this? Is it Iovine? Is it
Jimmy Iovine?
Iovine?
Jimmy Iovine. So I first saw Jimmy Iovine, like the first time I ever saw him or knew who he was or anything was, this is a secret confession. There was like a 2 year period of my life where I watched American Idol.
I watched that shit. I don't care what you
guys
say.
It was good. It was good.
I hate the fucking sad story.
I
in
watched
the
first.
I just want to see the
year.
Yeah. I want to see
with
the bad
weird
auditions.
Guy, with like the guy that Seacrest, like,
the black fucking Sideshow Bob.
That like
there was another host.
He was like a conjoined twin that Seacrest absorbed before the end of season one.
Yeah. Which one did Kelly Clarkson come out on? She was on three.
I don't know.
Which one is she on? I watched that one too.
Kelly Can Clarkson.
Kelly Can Clark. Can Clark Maj Paj.
But at one point, Jimmy Iovine shows up on American Idol and like.
He's a mentor.
As a mentor. And as soon as he showed up, like every week he would show up with some other like huge fucking star.
Right.
And like, it was like, oh, they're all only doing this because Jimmy's doing this. And yeah. I was like, who the fuck is this like bald, weird dude that like everybody in the music industry fucking idolizes? And then. A couple of months ago, an HBO documentary is a documentary series. Actually, it's about just under 5 hours long,
four episodes
called The Defiant Ones. And I remember seeing the trailers for it. And on the trailers, it's there's Jimmy Iovine, there's Dre, there's Eminem, there's Ice Cube, Bono, fucking Bruce Springsteen,
Stevie Nicks,
Trent Petty, Reznor, like Tom all these Petty, people Reznor. Are in it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this documentary about? And really the documentary is about this bizarre friendship between Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. Yeah. And,
but it goes through Jimmy Iovine's whole backstory.
Yeah. His whole backstory. So we wanted to talk about this guy. We talked about musicians before and so forth. And this guy is kind of like the guy behind the scenes.
He's a producer
of any music that has mattered in the last like fucking 25 years, this guy. And like the more I started to read about him, and look at his discography online and read different, there's just connections upon connections, and he just knows fucking everybody.
Well, it's crazy too, because he went in with huge artists and said like, no, we're going to do it like this.
Right.
And if they didn't do it like that, they probably wouldn't be
the what huge they are artists today. That they are right now.
It's fucking insane.
Like even little things. Like I read a thing because he's like his ex-wife is in the documentary a lot, but I had read that he got remarried in 2014. And I think her name was Linda Ross.
Liberty Ross.
Liberty Ross, that's right. And I was looking and I found out that she's the sister of Atticus Ross.
Yeah.
And Atticus Ross did the works with Trent Reznor, who Jimmy Iovine signed. And they ended up getting the two Academy Awards together on the two that they did the soundtracks for. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and another, but like, anyway, so it's like, there's just connections upon connections. Yeah. Like Atticus Ross, like, oh yeah, I should introduce you to Trent Reznor. Like he just knows fucking everybody.
Trent Reznor acquisition was amazing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. What he went through for that.
So
anyways, he was on another label.
Yeah. Entirely.
Yeah.
So this guy's dope. We wanted to talk about him because regardless of the style of music you listen to, this guy has made an impact on it. And it's a pretty crazy story. So, he grew up New York City, working class, right? Like his dad's a longshoreman,
Jewish kid.
Just nothing, you know.
His dad works at docks.
No money.
It's so
and
funny.
He has a fucking Muppet unibrow.
Oh God, damn!
Brent is fucking like in India.
Oh, it's like all the pictures. He looks like he's got two black eyes.
Yes,
and like a dead fucking snake.
He looked like a long haired Nosferatu. Like I was like, Jesus Christ,
that is the best description, dude. You know, he reminded me of, I can't think of the guy's name, but a prominent character in Sopranos.
Sopranos.
Yeah, yeah. He looks just like one of the dudes in Sopranos, but with a unibrow. And I was just like, how did Stevie Nicks not be like, hey, we should do something about that?
He was
a
genius. And he was just fucking so out there. Like he was so different. He didn't give a fuck.
Is it the one?
I don't think he cared.
Was it?
Paul? Not Polly. No, Polly's got the gray hair on the side.
It's the guy with the slick back hair in the suit that owns Bada Bing.
Fuck, man. Did you just say a slick back hair in a suit in Sopranos?
Well, like a lot of everybody. Pauly didn't really wear suits.
Yeah, Pauly has a gray hair. I'll look it up.
Yeah, but they called him No Suit Pauly.
I'm asking this because I'm wondering if it's the guy who was from the E Street Band with Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, maybe.
I'm going to look it up.
Because they would have been friends in the first place. So if they look alike, that's not a coincidence.
I'm looking at that boy. So
you see all these old.
He makes manly beards look. His fucking brow makes manly beards look like.
And like it almost like
Michael Imperioli. It's this dude right.
Imperioli.
That guy. That looks a ton.
Oh
like
yeah,
I mean that's like right. That looks like him.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. He plays Tony's nephew.
Sans the black eyes.
Yeah,
but yeah, he's got these ghoulish black eyes. The unibrow is on fucking point.
Yeah.
Like, it is one thick black, like someone just took a Sharpie and went.
Yeah, like he fell asleep at the wrong party.
Like every night.
Yeah. or they kept shaving it and it just, he was like, fuck
fucking
it.
Fucking Frida's cousin. Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
And there's like a point like in
he
the.
He can't lift one eyebrow.
To be honest, like I think he lost the unibrow like when he met Dre.
Probably.
Because even when you watch the documentary, there's photo, there's video, there's every, he's got the unibrow, and about the Dr. Dre era, you start seeing footage of him without the unibrow.
Trey's like, yo, dog.
Yeah.
I love you to death, bro, but you know what, man?
We're going to make money together unless you keep that unibrow.
That shit looked like a caterpillar that fell asleep on your fucking face.
You scare me with that shit. Shit was fucking scare really me with that shit right now, Jimmy.
You got two mustaches, dog.
upper, you got an upper decker, and I'm not talking about shit in the toilet. You know what I mean?
Look like someone in a Hitler costume kissed you on the forehead and their mustache fell off. You need to fix that shit.
That's kind of racist. It's kind of racist. I'm offended right now.
Your carpet shit's matches funny. Your drapes.
It might have been Geraldo's mustache.
It might have been Geraldo's mustache. Hiding. It might be it was all the machinations of Geraldo. That's really good. That explains the wow.
Well, he hasn't made an appearance.
He hasn't made an appearance in a while, and this guy was a part of all the great musicians coming up that could have had
that
guidance.
Could have been it. Geraldo's
from
guidance.
An inside source. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
I just got the fucking, look at closely, that shit, goosebumps. I was like, fucking legit.
If you look closely in all the Geraldo footage, you can always just see the mustache wave, just the corner
just
of it.
Just a little bit.
A little bit.
Yep.
It's you got to look close. It's there, though.
It's saying hi.
So he ends up just a kid, like while he's in high school, horrible student. He ends up graduating and
they send him to college so he doesn't have to go to Vietnam.
Yeah,
he's
goes
like,
to,
cool, I'll do that.
Exactly. He goes to college so he can avoid the draft. Because during Vietnam, if you were in college, you weren't eligible to get drafted.
It was some fancy sounding college. He was like, yeah, that sounds cool. It sounds like super prestigious.
The John Jay College of Criminal Justice.
Yeah.
But even the professors were like, dude,
you're a nice kid.
This is not for you.
Yeah, you need to shave like your eyebrow.
You need to go to barber college.
You should not be going to college. You don't have the right temperament for it. And he ended up getting a job. His sister knew some songwriter named Ellie Greenwich. And she got him a job at a record studio, just like bullshit entry-level job, sweeping floors, whatever. And like he got fired almost right away because he's just got a fucking big mouth.
He had like a probationary period of 90 days and they fired him.
That's the second job.
Oh, that was the second?
Yeah. He gets fired from the first job. She goes out of her way to get him a second job. And they're like, you have a 90-day probationary period. And he gets fired on the 89th day, which is either he was a super dick or like the boss was.
Or they were threatened by his skills. Like maybe someone was like, fuck that kid.
Yeah, that kid's like fucking better than I am. Yeah. Fuck this guy. Or like at day 90, they had to start giving him overtime and perks. It was like, nope, sorry, didn't make it.
New floor sweeper.
So he got fired from that on day 89.
He's a floor sweeper, right?
And he calls Ellie to thank her for having given him the job and says, apparently it's not going to work. They fired me. I'm heading back home. And she says, no, don't go home. Go down to this place called the Record Plant, which was a record studio in New York. And he gets down there and takes a job there. And he starts learning everything about board mixing. Just doing bullshit work. But the guy that runs the place takes him under his wing and starts showing him how to operate the board.
He described it. They would work through them like a puppeteer. He said he would sit them down at the board and tell them what to do instead of them doing it. He would say, okay, you're going to pull that up, bring that up, compressor, bring that up. And he would tell him while he did it. So he learned like every
day. He's just his name was Roy Sikal. Yeah. But he would just stand there like he didn't want to bother pushing the buttons. And he would just say, you know, take this up by 10 and, you know, lower that by 3. And he would be listening and telling him what to do.
His aunt knew. His aunt got him the job, right? That's who that was.
No, from what I read, it was a friend of his sister.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The Green Witch.
Well, she knew that he just fired his cousin, Steven Seagal. And so he needed a guy to fill in.
Right.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Just all luck.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, this is how you know Geraldo's mustache was involved because he worked on Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell album. And that shit shouldn't have gone nowhere. I mean, honestly,
that took the magic.
How did Meatloaf get famous?
Exactly.
How did Meatloaf get famous?
When they didn't care. Like, that's Phil Collins times when you could just be ugly as fuck.
Oh, yeah, you sure the fuck could.
Yeah, you could have man boobs and just sing songs about all how objects in the rearview mirror appear closer than they are.
Robert Paulson.
Yes, exactly.
Fucking singing about fucking what he would do for love.
Have you heard that song? It's objects in the rearview mirror appear closer than they are. Probably. That's a real Meatloaf song.
Probably.
And it's a melodic masterpiece. He's singing, he's belting this shit out, but you're like, what is he saying? Is that from the rearview mirror?
Objects in the mirror. Yeah, he's a strange.
But there's like lightning coming down and he's fucking long hair and he's like screaming outside a haunted mansion and shit. Yeah.
Nobody knows what his words mean.
Like, what is going on right now?
He writes this music and nobody knows what it means. What would you do for love?
I would do anything for
but
love.
That. What the but fuck wouldn't you do? That. What wouldn't you do? We don't know.
Is this some Marquis de Sade?
Cliffhanger? That's what I was gonna say. Is this a cliffhanger?
But Spanish fly? Like what?
Yeah. What? Yeah. What wouldn't you do? Like I'm left on a hanging
for a Klondike bar. So. I would do anything for a Klondike bar, but I won't do that. Yeah.
So
not gonna suck a dick.
Easter Sunday, 1973. And this is kind of a jack move from his boss, but his boss calls him on Easter Sunday because he's like, you know, Catholic, Italian, like Easter Sunday is a fucking big deal. And his boss calls and says, hey, you need to come down and answer the phone.
Yeah.
Like, you need to come in and answer the phones today. And he was like, it's Easter Sunday. And his mom's pissed. His dad's pissed. And the boss is like, look, I just need you to come down and answer the phones. Are you going to fucking do it or are you not going to do it? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So he goes down to answer the phones. And when he gets down there, the whole thing is it was a test that his boss did. And the thing is, the assistant engineer dropped out or was sick and didn't show up that day, and they were recording John Lennon's solo album.
Yeah, he walked in and John Lennon was fucking sitting there. Can you fucking imagine? He's like sweeping the floors
in 1973. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was a test, and like the boss was like, if you're willing to come in here and fucking suck a dick on Easter Sunday to answer phones, I'll let you meet John Lennon. But he didn't tell him that, so he shows up just out of loyalty, and he's like, okay, here's John Lennon. Let's go into the booth.
He doesn't even just meet him. He fucking engineers the shit with him. Yeah. They put his hands on the fucking mixing board and has them run it.
And so that's really one of the, and there's ton, you know, you see all these photos of the two of them like wearing matching t-shirts and shit and him just kicking it with John Lennon. And that's kind of one of the big,
he gets promoted to like assistant engineer at that point.
Cause at the time, really his job was put the tape on the reel and hit record.
Like that was video of him doing
that. Was kind of the job, but this kind of steps him up a little bit.
They did shit so old school. Have you ever watched any like documentaries on how they made like Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon back then? Fucking really had like alarm clocks sitting around in rooms when they pull that shit off.
Yeah.
Pressing buttons, like setting off that shit, hitting a bell, grabbing the tape to make tape delay and literally using their fingers to slow that shit down. All the fucking band members are standing there doing shit.
Well, that's like if you watch the history of hip hop, they show you how they cut. Like they didn't have fucking, you know, digital editing shit. Like when they cut in songs and shit and they cut in stuff, they taped together a fucking reel of music. And you're like, holy shit.
This is not as cool as that, but like, I don't know, 90s, I had a band, like a high school band, and we put our money together. We all chipped in like $50 and we got a Porta Studio, Tascam, Porta Studio 7, track recorder.
What was your name?
Damn it. If it comes to me, I will tell you, I promise. Okay. I just can't think of it right
now. That good of a band.
It was like, fuck, I can't think of it. No, it was, we didn't play any shows or anything. Played like a party or something once. But so we bought this 4-track recorder and literally we went to Radio Shack and bought $10 microphones. And on a 4-track recorder, it records on audio cassette. And so like we would record drums, bass, guitar, and then you could do what was called ping ponging. So we had 3 tracks recorded, 1 track open, and you would set destination for those 3 tracks to track one, physically change the mix right there. Like the EQ, you had mid, low, and high, and volume, and you do it and listen to it while on playback, and then you'd set it, go track one, and it would take destructively. It would fucking push all your tracks over to track one. And so you had the mix of tracks. Two, three, four, go to track one, and now you had 3 tracks open.
Yeah.
And so you could keep doing that. And then we would record like in the bathroom for reverb and shit. Literally had duct taped Radio Shack $10 microphones plugged into that shit over the drums. We pulled off some crazy stuff with a fucking cassette tape recorder. It was, crazy.
Sounds like Wu-Tang.
You see him doing some crazy shit with some like fucking old ass equipment. And at one point, in the documentary, it isn't Jimmy Iovine, but it's Dr. Dre sitting at his fucking just ridiculous like sound empire booth that fucking runs the world.
I don't even understand what's going on there.
And he's listening. He ended up getting the master tracks of a Marvin Gaye album.
Right.
And he's sitting there listening to all the master tracks, and he's like trying to like do a remix of it, not to release, but just to see if he could make it sound better or whatever. And he's just like listening to it, and he's like, there's nothing I can do to make this better than right. it actually is. And I've got fucking everything in the yeah. universe at my disposal. And these motherfuckers just had a tape and they would rewind it, you know.
We need to cover Dr. Dre, because yeah, that shit is hilarious. The outfit he shows up.
Oh, the doctor?
The doctor.
Oh, yeah, the purple, yeah. shiny. Well,
he was a techno fucking yeah. like yeah. techno house.
They said
he was
like
DJ.
A Jedi yeah. too, though. Like, talk the doorman into fucking getting yeah. in, and all of a sudden they're yeah. like, how the fuck is he on the turntables up right. there? And what did he bring? His own records in his pocket?
He's definitely worthy of
yeah. for sure.
of an episode. But so in 1975, Jimmy Iovine ends up getting to do they bring him in to work and do his second engineer stuff on Springsteen doing Born to Run, right? One of the biggest albums
ever. And apparently Springsteen has no concept of time as right. a perfectionist to right. the point that fucking Jimmy wants to quit.
Yeah. And he said Jimmy had all these like crazy ideas that he would keep bringing up. And like Bruce Springsteen was like surprised. And his quote was, I thought he just came with the furniture.
Yeah.
Like his job is just to hit play on the tape, yeah. but he kept coming up with yeah. like really good ideas. But like Jimmy Iovine was talking about the fact, you know, he was basically, he said that he learned a lot doing the Born to Run album because his boss had to take him aside when he was going to quit and say, your job is to make the artist's vision come to pass.
Right.
Yeah. Period.
Which is a huge lesson for him later.
Yeah.
I mean, when they have Interscope Records, that's a huge part of just like, mm-hmm. get the fuck out of the way. Let them produce what they're going to do, like with Reznor. So that comes into play later.
And he said that Springsteen wanted this particular drum sound.
Yeah.
And that they spent 3 weeks in the studio like putting a rug on top of the drum, hitting yeah. a fucking piece of metal, like one particular drum sound on the yeah. album he couldn't get right.
And that's a testament like, to what you had to do. Like now you just have 1,000 fucking snare yeah, samples.
No, but
you'd just be like, oh, I want snare 867. Right, like that one sounded good. It was still stuff to dig through shit.
Yeah.
But they're laying blankets, a cardboard yeah. box, like yep. muting yeah. the fucking snares underneath the drum, moving well,
you
mic positions.
You did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Right. The technology's increased. Right. You still do that thing, you know, certain things to an extent.
Right.
You still have to... Now you have 5 billion samples.
Right.
How you find the right one.
Right.
You
know, no, that's like, still true.
It's
yeah.
the same
yeah.
thing.
So at that point, he's getting a little bit of a name, right? And the group Foghat wants him to produce their
Foghat
record. He's never produced anything. And when he's talking in the documentary, and I guess I don't understand how points work, but he said that at the time you would get 3 points for being a producer. And he said that that came down to 20 cents a record.
It's probably 3% because 3 points yeah. on in car sales, when I used to sell cars, you get like a point on it. You're like, oh, we made a point on that. So like yeah. what would happen is, this is some shady shit, when you would call the bank to get it approved. So like someone would sign their papers and you'd send it to the bank. It would take 20 minutes. They'd send back, this is what we're going to give you. This guy can get 7% interest on his loan. You'd walk back out and go, oh, we can get you at 8.5%.
Yeah.
Like if you thought you could pull it, you get 8.5%. So you're making 2.5 points on their percent. So you're getting 2.5 more percent than they actually got approved for. So you're grabbing a percentage of that loan. They do, dude. The owner of the car lot did that shit to his mom.
Jacked.
His mom was upside down,
yeah.
flipped a car, put her in upside down another car. She owed like $45,000 on a fucking minivan. And he still made points on the percentage from the bank loan. I was
what
like, dude, that's your mom. He's like,
never trust the car.
That dude was a car salesman to the core. I had to quit that job. I couldn't do it, dude. I was like, this shit's evil.
There's the people who don't like it and quit, and the people who fucking do it for a living.
He would laugh. He enjoyed it because it was a story. He's like, I made points on my mom.
Yeah.
Like,
that's how much of a salesman I am.
So he ended up, so Iovine ends up basically taking the production job, even though he doesn't think he knows what he's doing, because he said that based on the last album Foghat did, if he got 20 cents per record, he would have made like almost $900,000.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is fucking ridiculous. And this is, we're talking like 1975.
Yeah.
Right. So I can't even imagine what that motherfucker's making right now for what he's doing, because he's making a hell of a lot more than 3 points.
Well, he has an undisclosed position at Apple. Christ. He's an employee of Apple.
He does.
Technically.
Yeah. So, but
undisclosed position. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
But he sucked, and Foghat fired him
yeah.
because they didn't like what he was doing. He didn't really know what he was doing. And so he goes back to the record plant to keep working and doing his job. And then Patti Smith, the punk rock singer, ended up, because met him when he was doing the Springsteen record. And she said, no, I want you to produce the record. And he was like, in full disclosure, I just got fired by Foghat. Yeah. And she was like, I don't give a fuck. I want
She's
you
like, I don't care. Foghat likes you. I like you. Right. Like, I like what you do.
Right. So she ended up, and this starts to show like his genius, because he says that like she has a decent album, but there wasn't like a single that would pop out and right. like be a big radio hit. And he went back to Bruce Springsteen and
stole one of Bruce Springsteen's songs.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. he got permission.
Yeah, but he pretty much said like, oh, this is going to be perfect. Same key, same note for Patty.
It right. sounded like it was just and an it's instrumental. A
throwout.
Yeah.
Well, it's a throw out from Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Right.
And it wasn't an instrumental. It was the song.
Yeah, she wrote lyrics, though, that night.
But she wrote
They changed
lyrics.
Them, though.
Yeah,
they changed them.
She was in a long-distance relationship. She was waiting for her boyfriend to call. Yeah. He would call every night, and he didn't call. And Jimmy kept saying, hey, did you listen to that? You check it out?
Yeah.
She's like, it's someone else's song. Like, it wasn't a thing, I guess, to cover other people's songs so much. And then all of a sudden, finally.
And Bruce Springsteen wasn't shit yet, so yeah. it's like saying it's yeah. Bruce Springsteen's song. He's like, doesn't I don't matter. Give a fuck. Oh, that guy up the hall?
He just
like,
knew,
I don't fucking
Yeah, and he just knew that song was perfect for her.
So, like, you and know, then it fit. Literally out of like, you know, like boredom, she's like, well, he didn't call. What the hell? I'll just listen to this thing. There's that tape. So she plays it, but in a coincidental universe, like, you know, just, you know, convergence, she's sad because her boyfriend's long distance yeah. and he's far away.
Right.
And the fucking Bruce Springsteen song like speaks to her and it all just works out. And she fucking writes lyrics to it all right then.
They come and record it.
Yeah. And the next day, Jimmy's just like, hey, did you listen to it? She's like, yeah, I wrote lyrics to it. She tried to be kind of nonchalant and it's fucking badass. What's that song again?
Because the night.
Yeah. I recognized that shit right away. I was like, oh fuck. That's how that
and
went down.
When I listened to it, I was like, I must not be thinking of the Patti Smith I'm thinking of, because this doesn't like the Patti Smith music I have in my mind is nothing like Because the Night. And I'm like, do I have a different person? Because I was like, I thought Patti Smith did Rock and Roll Nigger, which is a fucking amazing song.
She might because
and
she
I,
was
and it was
rock.
No yeah. I looked and I was like, nope, that's her. And then when I heard when I re-listened to that song, I was like, no, that's the voice on Because the Night.
Yeah. And then people gave her shit. They were like, oh, you sold out, you did a commercial song. And she was like, you know what, punk rock's about doing what the fuck I want and I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
Yeah. So she that was kind of cool because she was
and know. It's a trip seeing her get interviewed because she's like just like old gray-haired classy looking lady in a big rich house, and it's like you're just that fucking crazy punk rock bitch. Like it's crazy.
She'll sodomize you.
Just stretched out tattoo somewhere.
Yeah, stretched out cheeks.
Yeah, that's right. So this leads to him working with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, like their big albums that they're because again they're not that big, and they even say like they're really good on stage, but they suck in the studio, and they've never had a good producer.
I think Tom Petty smoked weed as a child. That fucking dude's voice—it's just like it is like the epitome of stoner. It is like holy shit, you are the stereotypical stoner.
Right. And I mean, it doesn't matter the era,
right.
like right now or the 70s, he looks equally as
he was
stoned.
A character in Half Baked.
Yeah. He's also in The Postman. He's the mayor of the town that they crossed the bridge. I was like, oh, sick.
Yep. But he doesn't identify himself. Yeah. They're like, aren't you famous?
He's like, a long time ago.
Yeah. So yeah, they end up getting together, and he ends up like this weird thing, because like Jimmy's just a fucking mover and a shaker. So he's at the record plant. He just got done doing the Patti Smith album. He's working on the Tom Petty album, and he secretly starts dating Stevie Nicks.
To the point he fucking hides her in the basement when Tom Petty comes over.
And like it like
and
now granted
Stevie fucking Nicks too. Right.
And granted,
at the
time, just to give perspective, Bruce Springsteen isn't that big yet. Right. Tom Petty isn't that big yet. Stevie Nicks is fucking huge.
Yeah.
Like she's massive.
It's
it's a big deal, but they met at the record plant.
Where did she come from? I'm trying to think.
She was in Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac, that's right.
So Fleetwood Mac was already huge. This was her stepping out to go solo from Fleetwood Mac. And
it was
they start
so
to
cool
date,
to see that
they keep
footage in
secret.
There of her singing, though. I was like, oh, shit, that's the real footage of Stevie Nicks singing that right now.
So she ends up basically, like you said, like he didn't want Tom Petty to know he was also working with Stevie Nicks because he thought Tom Petty would get pissed because he wasn't giving him his full attention. Right. So he's hiding Stevie Nicks. And like if Tom Petty would come to the house or something, he would like force Steve, because they lived together at that point. And he would like force her to go into the basement and hang out. And she said that she would sit in the basement and like listen at the door to their conversations and learn all this shit about music based on the conversations that she was eavesdropping. And
to her defense, she said it was a pretty badass basement. Yeah. Like finished basement. Yeah. It wasn't like dank and fucking
wasn't like
dark.
Our studio. Yeah.
So again, he ends up wheeling and dealing, and he gets Stop Dragging My Heart Around from Tom Petty to give to Stevie Nicks, because Stevie Nicks needed a big hit on her record. So they end up doing that song together, and it ends up like being way more popular than Tom Petty's actual album that it was going to be.
And they dropped it at the same time as his. Yeah. There's a little bit of controversy there. He said that Jimmy said he thinks his relationship to this day might still have been slightly affected by that, because he didn't handle it. He didn't feel like he handled it well. Yeah.
Right.
But so, he was young.
And he didn't do it on purpose. He was just like, I know this is going to work. Yeah. I know this is going to work. Yeah. He didn't have control over when they released the song.
And he couldn't see very well. He had unibrow in his eye.
Yeah, he had that
Tom Petty had long
caterpillar
hair.
Caterpillar in his eye.
He didn't mean to lean in for that kiss. Yeah, it was close to Stevie Nicks.
It was actually Tom Petty that he kissed.
Yeah, yeah.
Things got weird.
Yeah.
Things got weird.
So he and Stevie Nicks end up breaking up ultimately. And then
good call though. She didn't, the years didn't treat her well.
Well, compared to his other
Tom
wife,
Petty's hot though. Yeah.
She looked like a weathered ship.
So he ends
Tom Petty
up,
is a good looking man. Yeah.
He ends up meeting a woman named Vicky McCarty, who was a Cambridge lawyer and a Playboy centerfold and media, so, like an interviewer for different like TV shows and stuff.
Yeah. See, his unibrow didn't kick him down. Like,
no, not at all.
He still pulled him. Like,
and she ends up introducing him to Bono. And again, U2 is brand new. They've done like their first album. It hasn't really blown up yet. And he meets Bono and wants to sign him. And this is like the fucking obsessive OCD. He ends up following Bono on a tour. Like through
Bono
1983.
Described him as a virus.
Yeah.
He said he happens to you.
Yeah. He happens to you. He comes in uninvited
and sort of just takes over.
So we met him through his at the time fiance, and then just started stalking him. Every time Bono would do a show, he would fly to where the show was, get a backstage pass, go backstage and talk to him, swap ideas, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, when he was doing a show in New York, had Bono and The Edge and like the whole U2 group come to his house for dinner. Like his family's house, and eat like a big Italian meal and all this shit. And that was pretty much what sealed the deal.
Yeah, they drugged him.
So he ends up signing with Bono, and they end up doing like all the big, like from that point on, all of the big fucking U2 albums that came out, Jimmy Iovine was the producer behind it and the innovator.
And Jimmy Iovine was in a band originally at one point. He actually was in a band. It just didn't do well. Yeah. That's why he was originally into music, but he knew they weren't any good.
Right.
I don't remember what instrument he played or if he just sang, but I think he played guitar. It showed it in the very beginning of that documentary.
Because
he sits down with Edge and Bono, and they're sitting there talking. And I was like, oh, he's like visualizing, like, oh, the drums should be here, and telling him, you know, kind of structurally how things should go.
Right.
So he was influencing that way. And I was wondering, I was like, wait, did he have a musical background? But he did. He was actually in a band at some point.
And he's just obsessed with it. He studies it. He's just like listens to mixes, listens to how people did shit, and just his years working for other producers. He saw what they did, and he kind of got a knack for it. And then he had like the most fucked up couple months ever, where in 1984, his grandfather died and he went to his grandfather's funeral. He was living in LA at this point. He flew back to New York for his grandfather's funeral, flew back home to LA, and found out that night his dad had a heart attack. And then 6 weeks later, his dad died. And then the next day his mom died.
Damn.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's rough.
So he kind of quit working for a while and was like super depressed. And I guess his dad was like a huge fan of Christmas music. So he recorded the album, A Very Special Christmas.
And donated the money to charity.
$100 million.
Yeah.
got over the years from that album have gone to the Special Olympics.
I like how did you see what he said about when he moved to California? When he first got to California, he had always been on the East Coast, and he was like, what the fuck? Like,
this what place, was I thinking?
Yeah, he was like, he's like, wait, there's a beach. Is there docks? Are there docks here? Right. His dad was a dock worker.
Right.
And they're like, yeah. And he's like, told his mom, like, what the fuck? How did we mess up? Why were we living over there? So, and then Tom Petty on the interview tells a story, and he said, I've never slept inside of a house before. Like out in the woods like this.
Yeah.
He's like, in the woods? He's like, this is a neighborhood. This isn't the woods. Yeah. What do you mean you never slept in a house? He's like, I grew up in apartments. I'm from New York City. I've never been in a house. So that was his first time sleeping in a house
when
he moved to California. Yeah. And he called it the woods. He was like, I'm like out in the woods. He's like, what do you mean the woods?
There's just some trees. Well,
there's trees. Yeah, I can see. I can see pretty far.
Yeah. Like, it's just a neighborhood, dude.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He's like, this is an urban area.
And again, so this is still fairly early in his career. This is like 1984 when he does his Christmas music. And when he gets the idea for the Christmas album, his fiance says, you should just call some friends of yours and get them to sit in on the album. So the friends of his in 1984,
Tom Petty,
are fucking,
Nicks,
Run DMC, Run DMC, Sting, John Cougar Mellencamp, U2, Annie Lennox, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Seger. Like, he's just like calling his friends to get him to do this album. And again, this is, he's like barely getting started at this point.
Same year he does the supervisor of the music for 16 Candles.
Yep.
Like one of Brent's favorite movies.
He does
That's a great
Dire
movie.
Straits, Simple Minds, Pretenders, The Eurythmics, like tons of 80s music.
That was the year that my grandpa heard his Hyena.
What?
Yeah.
What?
16 Candles. You guys know what's up.
Okay.
I have no idea. You're talking to somebody else.
Yeah, what's happening, hot stuff? Yeah.
I got you.
My grandpa heard his Hyena. That's a good line. Come on. You didn't ever watch 16 Candles?
No. I just know it's popular among weirdos.
It's the truth. I date the fuck out of myself until I'm sore, actually.
Yeah.
So a couple years later, he gets back with U2 again. They do Rattle and Hum, which was just
on the desk.
Fucking dope.
Sorry.
It's like super brutal. This is in 1988. They end up having to, because they Rattle and Hum was an album. And it was a tour and it was a movie. So he became an executive producer on the movie, and the movie was a concert movie. So they filmed every single concert that they went to. So he was just on the road endlessly with U2. And they said that he was such a perfectionist. Bono said that at one point they did 269 takes on one song to the point that they wore the tape until it was transparent.
Oh, wow. Probably not sounding that great at that point.
Yeah.
Integrity.
Yeah. 269 takes on one song on Rattle and Hum.
Wow.
And
think of a Meatloaf song on that. Like that would be just incredible now.
Yeah. The research on
this. You're a fucking liar, Dave. You lied to me right now.
Dave just agreed with you.
I just went along.
There was no conviction in that at all. That was not believable. I wasn't believing it. I didn't believe it at all.
I really didn't hear what he said.
You never do. You could have made it more convincing than that.
I usually do. You want to say it again?
I said, I don't even remember what I said.
Exactly. You guys don't know how hard this is for me to cut old episodes and get Brad quotes and slip them in. And then me and Dave just laugh. We laugh and laugh. Brad's not even there. We just have a cardboard cutout. It's really difficult to do. It's a lot of editing.
We've got his stuff.
What do you mean? Flintstones. I eat aspirin. Mr. Bojangles is my friend.
Shopping. I peed in my mouth. Baby punch. What,
Brent, why are you having me record all these weird words? Not in any sentence.
Oh, that is good.
Oh, man. So anyway, he ends up at this point, they make enough money from Rattle and Hum that he wants to launch his own record label. And he meets with tons of fucking biggies in the area.
And smalls.
And smallies, And he creates Interscope Records in the late 80s, early 90s.
And they needed an act. And who they went with first was amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. So they needed an act to get things started on their brand new record label. And again, everything's like super dicey. There's a million record labels now. Like, it's really hard to break into it.
It says really a lot of competition. Some big main guy fell off or something or sold his company and it opened up the market. Because he had such a controlling interest.
Yeah, I think it was David Geffen.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's so, why it was Interscope, Geffen, A&M after.
Originally, there was originally 1991 they made Interscope, and 1999 they merged or something to get with Geffen.
So their big first release was Gerardo's Rico Suave.
Fuck yeah, it was. I remember that.
Rico Suave.
That was so popular.
And with
shit's horrible. With the jeans, he had mom jeans.
It's because the guy was
so bad.
Yeah, the guy was sexy as fuck, is why. The ladies loved him.
Yeah, I guess Ivy knew he was going to sell.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he did. And with the exception of that song. He did the
same thing later with Mark McGrath. Later on.
Did what?
Mark McGrath.
It sucked. Sugar Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't do Sugar Ray, did he?
I don't know.
He did do Marky Mark. He actually
did do Marky Mark. So he signs different groups, and this is actually when he signs it. Like right after Gerardo, he signs Primus, Marky Mark.
They went on the road looking for something. After they got that, they were like, let's just find American something Idol. Unique. Yeah. And then they found Primus and pig masks playing a bass with a violin bow in a barn and shit.
Two non-blondes, like all these groups are signed.
Huh? Four non-blondes.
Two non-blondes.
It's
four non-blondes. Four non-blondes.
The 4th of July.
The Serengeti blondes.
Serengeti blondes?
And it's also, and again, this is the trip of him. He meets Gwen Stefani. He sees her sing.
Yeah.
And he goes up to her and he says,
you want to pit my eyebrow?
He says, you're going to be a star in 6 years.
Right.
She's like, what are you, who are you? What are you talking about? Like,
no doubt's a cool story.
She has no idea who this guy is, like nothing. And like shortly thereafter, he shows back up and wants to sign her and like buys them equipment, rents them a space and says, just start writing music and get good. Because you're going to be a star.
Yeah. That band story is kind of cool. It's like,
is it sure enough in 6 years though? Like that's like when it was.
6 years on the dot.
The singer quit the band or some shit. And one of the guys was like, hey, my buddy's little sister sings. And it was like some Orange County garage band. Mm-hmm. They went and got Gwen and fucking brought her down the road.
Yeah.
She's all brown haired, just normal little girl.
Right.
And fucking just killed it. And then they kept coming with songs and he was like, like they thought they did really good. And he was like, nah, go do some more.
Go record some more.
So he's just like, here's some seed money. Like you guys have it, but you still suck.
Right.
Yeah. So in six years, you're going to be dope. Here's money to cover you for 6 years.
Well, he knew it was going to take time.
Yep.
I mean, that's where, everybody wants to form a band now and get big, but it just takes time.
And Gwen Stefani even says in exactly 6 years, I was on the cover of Rolling Stone and our album blew up and just all this different shit because Jimmy Iovine is a fucking magician. Apparently
he was just waiting. He could have done it anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, Nostradamus.
He wanted to bang her first.
Yeah. He was ready. She was ready at 4 years, but he was like, I'm just going to be a dick. I'm
that could have been it. He was banging her.
Maybe.
Can't let her go yet.
Yeah.
So the other thing, one of the big acquisitions that he makes, and this is what really helps Interscope take off, is he ends up getting Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
So he sees Trent Reznor in 1991. He's got Pretty Hate Machine just came out and he's got a fucking 7-album deal with this fucking shiesty dude.
And the dude in the fucking documentary too, you're like, I know this guy. Yeah, this guy's an ass.
Just a scuzzy music exec from a group called TVT. And so Jimmy starts to fucking call the owner of this label every single day. For a year, he calls the owner. He calls Trent Reznor's lawyers. He calls his manager every single day. He calls everybody involved with Nine Inch Nails because he knows that Nine Inch Nails is going to blow up and he wants him because when he heard the music, he was like, I'm looking for someone who's got stage presence and can knock it out on stage. I want someone who can produce their own music, someone who's got a unique sound and charisma. He was like, this guy's just the perfect package. He needs to be.
And apparently all of that business dealings happened in the bathroom, like on the doc. Documentary, like you guys really got to get HBO, even if you sign up for the trial, or it's like 30 days trial just to watch that. I mean, there's a bunch of good stuff on there,
but 15 day trial for free though.
Yeah. 15 days. You can watch it. It's four episodes. You do it in 4 nights or something, an hour piece. But that part, they do such a good portrayal of it because the wife is like setting breakfast at the bottom of the bathroom door, setting orange juice at the bottom of the bathroom door. And Jimmy's just on the phone in the bathroom, talking to the fucking people to try to get Trent Reznor. They said he didn't come out of the bathroom for like a year solid.
He didn't do any other projects. Like his job for a year
was to get Trent Reznor.
And then when they finally get him, Trent Reznor's like, he's like, fuck these big executive motherfuckers. Cause he's already got a bad taste in his mouth from his record label.
Right.
And when they go in there, he's like, they're just like, what do you want? And he's like, I want complete freedom. I want this money. I want to be able to do what I want. And I want a record label of my own to be able to sign other people. And they're just like, okay, what else do you want?
Is that it?
Yeah. And they just, and Turner's like, wait, you're supposed to do it. And he's like, you do what you do.
Right.
I'm going to get out of your way.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I like what, because that's the thing with Trent Reznor. He's a fucking one man band. Like,
right.
He does all of that shit.
Yeah.
He just needed someone with a connection to distribute it.
Right.
He makes horrible music all by himself.
He makes amazing music all by himself.
No. I like some Nine Inch Nails. I don't know a lot of it. I'm not like,
I like
it all sounds the same to me.
He's fucking dope. But then, which I didn't know, is that Trent Reznor signed Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And, you know, under his own label, but the label was under Interscope.
Through Jimmy, yeah.
So, so Trent Reznor, and in the early 90s, Trent Reznor and, or mid 90s, Trent Reznor, Marilyn Manson, like Marilyn Manson was it.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson was on fucking everything, you know, blowing up, like just tons of media.
He's a super smart guy.
Yeah, super fucking smart guy.
Very weird.
Good fucking music.
Supposed to be.
I really do dig his
music. It's Paul from Wonder Years, just so you know.
Is it?
That's the conspiracy. Do you know that?
It could be.
That's a huge conspiracy. It looks like, you look at him, you're like, that does kind of look like Paul from Wonder Years with titties and makeup and long hair and creepy.
Yeah, it sings good.
Yeah.
And apparently they recorded the album. They were looking for a house to rent to turn into a studio to record the album, Trent Reznor and Marilyn Manson, and he didn't even have his name yet, and they ended up renting Marilyn Manson's house. They ended up renting the house where the Tate Bianca murders took place.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then that was when he named himself Marilyn Manson. One else wanted, well, it's just a rental house. And he was like, yeah, fuck it, let's rent that one. And they were like, oh, you know, and he was like, why is this house so cheap? And they're like, it's where the Tate Bianca murders went. Yeah. And they were both like, that's fucking perfect.
They loved
it.
So that was recorded Marilyn Manson's first album.
But towards the end of Johnny Cash's life, he actually lived next door to Trent Reznor. And that's why Johnny Cash covered Hurt.
Oh, I didn't know that was why.
He lived next door to Trent Reznor.
I wonder if Reznor's going over there and be like, hey, Johnny, what do you think about this song? Yeah. Check this shit out.
Well, son.
Just talking over the back fence.
Yeah.
Why are you always yelling?
I think the forklift noises are a little weird. Yeah.
What is that, a chain hoist?
Sounds like a factory.
Yeah.
And a drum set. But
these kids nowadays, you know, they're kind of weird.
So then at the same time, right, so he finally gets Trent Reznor to sign. They're starting to get Marilyn Manson on board. And then at the same time, someone basically shows up and says, hey, you should listen to this song. And they play him some stuff from Dr. Dre. And he said that when he listened to it, he was like just completely fucking blown away. He was like, he said he didn't know anything about hip hop. He had never produced it. He'd never listened to it. He only knew rock and roll. But he said when he was listening to it, he said that the production of the song was about the most perfect production he had ever heard in his life.
Yeah, he asked him, he said, who did this for you?
Right.
He's like, what do you mean? He's like, who recorded this and produced it? And he's like,
and engineered
I did it.
And he was like, no,
and those motherfuckers, that's what I'm saying. We got to cover Dre because they just fucking ordered shit. With Eazy-E money off the internet, or not even off the internet, they went and bought to the music store and just pulled out the instructions. They're like, press this button and this button, I guess. You know, they knew what they wanted to
do. Okay, it's recording.
But they had no idea how to use that shit. They self-taught themselves how to do all of that.
And everybody.
People go to school for years for that.
And everybody who's involved, everybody from the fucking West Coast shit, all of them just say, you know, I'm good at what I do, but when I get in a studio with Dre, I walk out better.
Yeah.
Like he's just fucking, he's the one.
He has
the
ear.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the ear.
And this is later Dre. This is NWA has already fallen apart, all that stuff. This is like, he's doing his own album with Death Row, and Jimmy Iovine sees the same thing. Kind of like with Trent Reznor, he's stuck in a deal. He's like, nope. Like as dope as Dre is, nobody wants to sign him. It's just legal nightmares.
He tells him, he said, don't move on this with anyone else. Give me 3 weeks and I will settle all this legal shit.
Right.
And he goes to work and he fucking calls, he gets rid of all the fucking legal problems, all the red tape, settles all the shit and fucking signs them.
Well, and at the same time, I think it's because Dre's just been dealing with fucking gangsters and hustlers this whole time.
He's like, yo, my cousin.
Yeah. And now he's got some guy with a fucking legal team and like tons of experience in the actual music business. Yeah. He's like, I'll clear all that shit up. We'll get you
just paid for it. They're like, hey, check it. I'll give you 10 grand if you shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
We don't break your legs.
Yeah. And then again, just like Trent Reznor said, when Dre was meeting with him, he was like, this is going to be bullshit. He had a bad taste in his mouth from music execs. He was like, and Snoop went and he and Snoop and Suge Knight went and met with him, and they were waiting for some bullshit pitch about how many albums can we sell and just money, money, money. And when they showed up, all Jimmy Iovine talked about was art. Right. Like, was the music, like, you know, what sounds do you have in mind? Like, what's your, like, what topics do you want to cover? Like, he just wanted to talk music, yeah, not any of the business. And they were like, fuck, this guy's all right, you know? So they ended up signing with him, and they do the Chronic with Snoop. They end up getting involved with Death Row, and that's just a whole fucking shitstorm of gangs and, yeah, people getting killed and just the madness. But Jimmy Iovine's just on it because he sees the, and I mean, I'm sorry, like, I don't listen to very much hip hop these days. And I mean, it's probably because I'm getting older and I don't have an ear for it, but I, most of the shit that I ever fucking hear, I'm like, that's not as good as Dre. Like, that's not as good, no, as, yeah, fucking Snoop Dogg. Mumble rap, that's not as good as Public Enemy. That's not as good. It's like
mumble rap, stupid shit that's coming out now. Actually, Neil Stanifer hit me up asking for different artists.
Oh, so really?
I gave him like a Maj Paj of like the new mumble rap, you know, right, versus like some old shit versus some like East Coast, West Coast stuff. And he was like,
oh, and I know, well, there is good stuff coming out right now.
Yeah, it's just
some stuff, man. We were talking
you
about
hear the stuff
day,
on the radio,
like,
though, and that's the problem.
I was like, okay, maybe like Bruno Mars is like a weird half-assed reincarnation of like Michael Jackson. Like, there's some artists, you know, that you know are prominent that are, you know, going to be iconic that you look back and think of them. But man, I don't know.
It's hard to, like, do now. I mean, you have like John Legend, you know, somebody like, yeah, that who's,
there are
who's
some
really
dudes.
Good.
But most shit, like country music, is fucking sitting on my tailgate down now by the moonlight.
It's because it's all
rapping country.
It's all money now.
Shit.
It's right. All what's going, yeah, to right, sell.
Exactly.
It's the not only about person, the art anymore.
Yeah, like Lucas Nelson and fucking Sturgill Simpson. Those motherfuckers sound like old country. Like, yeah, there are some.
There's still
in each
some of
category
that though. I mean, there's a category of Western, you know, country Western. That's not what's played on the radio.
Right. Yeah. Right. Shaky, you know what I mean? Have you guys heard Shaky Graves? That motherfucker's, no, badass.
Have you heard that?
Is that a rap?
Cara Llewellyn
artist.
Cara Llewellyn, yeah, I heard that she did like a burlesque rap music thing.
Yeah.
It just didn't work because she did like a small coffee shop tour and she kept exposing herself.
Yeah.
And just get kicked
in
out.
In Starbucks. Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, not going to go down.
Yeah.
She made enough money to be a patron, so it,
that's
couldn't
good
have been.
Keep it up. Keep exposing better yourself to people you don't know.
If it's giving us money, keep doing, yeah, what you're doing, Cara. Yeah.
So they end up signing Dre. They end up getting in with Death Row. And again, Suge Knight is a fucking gangster. And this is one thing I didn't know is that Snoop is a Crip and hangs with Crips. And Suge Knight was a Blood and hung with Blood. Yeah. So
you didn't know that by his red fucking suits?
Well, it just never dawned on. I never put it together. So like when you went to Death Row, it was full of Bloods and Crips. Yeah. Like, so it was like fucking, yeah, violence upon violence, yeah, just hanging out at the studio. And again, Jimmy Iovine is like, this is where it's at though. Like these guys, and that this, it's what, one of the things that he says repeatedly.
They're just talking shit in their
like,
tracks back and forth.
I'm not, yeah, looking for a controversial rapper who's going to get shot. I'm right, looking for good.
Right.
Right. And he's like, I'm not looking for, like, I'm looking for the best people, the best musicians that are out there. I don't give a fuck what they are. I don't care if they're Primus wearing pink.
Well,
masks.
He always
good.
He always looked for different, like, mm-hmm, Snoop Dogg, different.
He had that, yep, thing, Dr., where they're Dre, like, oh, this different, this, yep, record doesn't, you know, sound like your last record. And, yeah, he's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, good.
Why,
yeah,
would we make a new record if it's just going to sound like, right, our old,
yeah,
record?
Right.
You know,
yeah,
we're,
yeah,
going to make something new.
Yeah. Right.
Tupac Shakur, yeah, different. You know, like that's what he looked for. Even in music, you know, you go for, or not music. What the fuck am I talking about? Even in like rock, U2. Right. Versus Tom Petty.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he went for different sounds, mm-hmm, you know, like, mm-hmm, which is cool. That's what makes.
They said he wasn't afraid to move forward. Like he did this, yeah, huge thing, but he didn't feel like stick, yeah, to what's safe.
Right.
His success was in moving forward and, yeah, not being afraid to leave the old behind and just make the next leap.
Right.
Yeah. And, right, find something newer and weirder that he thought was going
to
work.
Right. So Interscope starts to run into a lot of fucking trouble. The entire world is protesting against Marilyn Manson because he worships the devil and, yeah, fucking everybody fucking hates him and they're scared of him. Snoop gets put on murder charges for the fucking shootings that go down in the park. The East Coast, West Coast battle heats up. Tupac,
between Tupac and Biggie,
fucking, yeah, shoots somebody. Tupac shoots those undercover cops or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. He shot then, two cops. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Tupac gets shot and killed. And like, and even like to the point that Jimmy Iovine, when he would go to like movie premieres, would like wear a bulletproof, yeah, vest. because he was down with Death Row,
yeah,
and he knew some shit.
He's hanging out with fucking gang
Jesus
members.
Christ, this guy is legit.
He had a bulletproof vest and socks and sandals, though.
Yeah, that's
true. He wore mandals.
Yeah. So because of all this, Time Warner tries to like get out. They're like, because they own part of Interscope, and they're like, they're trying to like, I think they were trying to buy Turner. They were trying to acquire TNT, Turner Media Group, TNT, all that stuff. And they had to get federal approval, but all of the senators and everybody
That was Warner Brothers. I think they went after Time Warner Brothers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time Warner. Yeah. Oh, it is Turner. Yeah. Ted Turner. Yeah.
But they were merging. And since they owned part of Marilyn Manson and Tupac and
Death Row,
all these senators and Bill Clinton were standing up and saying this music is horrible, blah, blah, blah. They wanted to completely distance themselves.
You have to remember that. That's when they came out and said that music was making people do stuff. Right. I remember that shit. Yeah, Bill Clinton. Too.
The FBI attacked NWA. There's all kinds of weird shit. Yeah.
Yep. And he's fucking right in the middle of all of it. And they try to buy it, or they try to convince him to sell Death Row to somebody else for $150 million so that it wasn't part of Interscope and therefore it wasn't part of Time Warner.
Right.
And everybody's like, fuck yeah, $150 million. And Jimmy's like, nope. Like, sorry, like that's not, you don't understand what we do.
Yeah.
Like this that's is us. Money, like this isn't, you know, this is part of us. And then it ends up like turning out to be like a super good move because Time Warner wants to get rid of it so bad. They're like, fuck it. We'll just sell it to you then. Like, why don't you buy our percentage of it for like dirt cheap? We just want to be fucking rid of it. So then he ends up buying the percent that they own. So now Interscope is entirely his, basically, as a part of it. But it got so bad at one point, and they showed this in the documentary, Stevie Nicks came by this is long after their relationship was done. He was already remarried, had kids. She shows up at Jimmy Iovine's house. And his oldest son, who was like a teenager at the time, or almost a teenager, said he told Stevie Nicks, if you hang out with daddy, you have to be careful because there are people who want to blow his head off.
Jesus.
And this is just his daily life because of Suge Knight and Death Row and the whole fucking thing. So the whole thing goes down, East Coast, West Coast, Tupac dies, et cetera. Eventually, Suge Knight gets arrested, and that's pretty much the end of Death Row.
Well, what's crazy about Death Row is through the 90s, like it says that it was pretty much the reason why Interscope was so big was just because of Death Row.
Right. It was their saving grace. Yeah. Like that funded their
move forward. They did well.
Right. Right. So, but at this point they have all these fucking acts and they don't really need Death Row anymore. And then Death Row falls apart when Suge Knight goes to jail. And then at one point, and I knew most of the story of Eminem, as far as Dr. Dre hears Eminem and freaks out and wants to sign him right away. I didn't know that Jimmy Iovine was the one who gave it to him. So basically,
because all the execs are like, no, this kid's white for one, he's white.
Yeah.
Well, he's singing about crazy shit. He's saying weird things about stabbing his mom. Like this fucking
basically
crazy.
He would, Dre said that he would, when he was looking for talent or looking for ideas, he would go over to Jimmy's house because a part of Jimmy's garage was just full of thousands of cassette tapes.
People send him shit.
Because everybody would just send him a cassette tape. If they saw him on the street, they'd give him a demo. Like all this shit. And at one point he was like, listen to this kid, tell me what you think. And went into the garage, pulled out Eminem's tape and played it. And Dre was just like, we fucking need this guy.
Yeah,
where is he? Sign him right now.
Right.
And they even talk about the fact that it usually takes 2 or 3 months to sign someone. And they were like, no, Jimmy, you have to sign this guy today, right now.
Yeah.
You don't understand what we've got here. And so they end up signing Eminem. But
they were unimpressed at first. He had to fight for that shit.
They didn't have to fight for it.
That didn't come
easy. And you even, like, Eminem even talks about, like, he's like, so I just get a call and they say I'm coming to Interscope and he flies to LA and he walks into an office and he's like, holy shit, Jimmy Iovine's in this office.
Yeah.
And he tells him to have a seat. And then he's like, 30 seconds later, fucking Dr. Dre walks in. And he's like,
fucking crazy. Holy.
And he was like, I'm getting goosebumps. He said, I just pissed myself right now thinking about it.
Yeah. And then Dre invites him to the studio the next day. And stays that night and like makes some beats and shit for him. And then My Name Is.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. That's really when that happened.
Yeah.
Like they had video. Yeah, they have video going down. Of him playing the hook.
He starts playing and he just starts singing it. Yeah.
And Dre's just like laughing and shit. Yeah. He's saying like, I want to put 9-inch nails through my eyelids, like saying all that shit. And Dre's just like, what the fuck is this kid
You know what though too? Like a lot of the stuff he mentions is stuff from Jimmy Iovine, from Interscope.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where like he was probably just fucking geeked out on like, holy shit, I'm here with Dr. Dre getting fucking, you know,
but he wasn't recruited by Interscope. And then he just accepted that role so quick. He's just like, I'm a badass and rolled with it. And then it brought Dre back. Now Dre's getting on stage with Eminem.
It's, and he does Chronic 2001.
Yeah, because his other two albums before that weren't good.
But this one blows up. Eminem just fucking blows up. And still to this day, goes to Dre for production, goes to fucking Jimmy Iovine.
And Eminem produces himself now too. Like, so.
Right.
Because he learned from.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't watch TV anymore, but Dr. Eminem Dre doesn't do much lately, huh? Like, does he do anything lately?
No, Eminem?
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe he didn't need to.
He's doing whatever. He's getting tired now.
Well, he had one a couple years ago, and it was fucking badass. Yeah. The last album of his that I have, it's better than the previous two or three that he did.
I'm going to step up my music game. I really only listen to music, and I play music. I just don't have time to listen to music. I only listen to it in the gym for my workout, and I usually put the same thing on. I'll, like, pick one song and put it on loop. I just fucking put some crazy shit on loop and I sit and work out.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just zone out.
Check out the last Eminem album. It's pretty fucking dope. But
I'm not going to tell Brad what I play. I play one song.
You have to
judge me.
What is it?
I'm not telling you.
Just say it now. You have to now. I won't judge you. I promise.
Yes, you will.
I swear to God, I won't. I swear to God.
You're going
to
go, you fag.
I swear to God. Away.
Skrillex is what I work out to. Faggot. See? it's like Skrillex. One song that I fucking loop. It's good for workout, dude. I never listen to it any other time, but when I work out, I fucking, there's no words really. I just fucking zone out and I just work out.
Apparently, I only listen to Jimmy Iovine stuff when I work out because I listen to Eminem. I listen to Nine Inch Nails and I listen to Marilyn Manson.
I put on Pandora and I just gangster rap.
Well, my thing is, I just don't have, I don't use iTunes. I don't use Google Play. I don't download music. I don't pay for music. I don't buy music. I don't do any of it. I just don't mess with buying music or collecting music. I don't know. Right. But that documentary made me go, oh shit, I should try to
I think it's on YouTube or fucking Netflix or somewhere, but look for the history of hip hop. Like, I know you're not super into hip hop.
No, I like hip hop. Like, when you pick songs for the end of episodes, I'm always like, fuck, this is sick. I wish I knew more about this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, watch the history of hip hop. Like, it's fucking amazing. Like, if you're not into hip hop at all, watch that shit. Dude, and you're just like, wow, like the fucking, it makes you appreciate it on a different level.
Yeah, it really
does. For sure.
The funny thing is,
you think people are just mumble rapping.
You pick like Russian rap and shit, and I'm like, damn, this is fucking sick. Like, I could totally listen to this. I have no idea what the fuck they're saying, though.
Yeah.
They could be saying Brent sucks dicks.
I bump
50 ways. Yeah.
I bump Russian hip hop. I bump Japanese hip hop. I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah, dude, when you did that one on the fucking Japanese cult or whatever, that shit was badass. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of classic, you know, groups that are from, you know, foreign places that are awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like but American hip hop and American music has transcended into other cultures.
Sure,
and that's where it lies, you know? So it's pretty amazing.
So
everything really, just music in general.
In the late 90s, Iovine, unlike most people in the industry, says we're dead. Like, the industry is going to die.
He saw the light in the tunnel. He sees Napster.
He sees Napster. Yeah. He sees the damage this is going to do.
Technology,
and most people aren't paying any attention.
Album sales,
And this is what gets kind of funky because, okay, so obviously.
Dude, Napster's a guitar. They killed fucking. They did that shit that Apple hadn't figured out how to do yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From a college dorm.
Yeah. No, we might cover Napster.
That's a good one.
Everything. Facebook was from a college dorm.
So he ends
Twitter,
up.
You know?
Jimmy ends up going up to meet with Steve Jobs in 2000 and starts talking about like the future of music. Like, this is going to get, this is before the iPod is out. This is like,
it's before 2000 fucking OS X just came out.
Exactly. Like, and he starts meeting with Steve Jobs and they start talking about stuff and no one really ever makes it clear. Like, again, what Jimmy Iovine's position at Apple is and how much influence he had with Steve Jobs or vice versa. But shortly after these meetings happened is when the development of the iPod started. This is when iTunes comes out. So I think Jimmy Iovine is like behind this. Like,
kinda
he's
crazy.
Like,
he's behind, like, what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's the he's the one who sees this. He predicts the collapse. And then even when I saw that, I was like, oh, fuck, that explains that when that huge iPod push happened, it was all filled with a free U2 album. Like, because it's fucking Interscope. I was just like, fuck, it all just
there's a picture comes of Jimmy, together. Jimmy Iovine, Steve Jobs, and Bono. I saw it and I was like, I thought the same thing. I was like, that's that U2 fucking connection.
Well, and that's what I was telling you. When I was telling you guys about Jimmy Iovine, that I was like, wow, like, we have to do something on him. Because it, like, you look at it at the surface and you're like, okay, whatever. Like, he's a music producer. Like, this guy, he handled some big dudes, but he is really the innovator for what we know as music
today.
Now. Like, and how we deal with music, how there is no CD anymore, how there is no tape anymore. Everything's digital, and how we get our music. He is the reason. And it's fucking amazing.
No, it is amazing.
So, and I don't think a lot of people know that.
No. Yeah, you're super like passionate about it. And I was like, okay, I don't know. It's a music thing. Yeah. Brad likes hip hop. I don't know what it is. Like, and then I watched that documentary. I was like, damn, this is super fucking cool.
Yeah.
So then, and the thing, like, his biggest moneymaker, like, he, like, Dr. Dre was at his beach house, which kind of made me sick to my stomach because they kept showing him in this house. And I was like, fuck, Dr. Dre's house is sick.
That boat,
like,
no,
that's just his beach house.
That's just his, like, you know,
his wife called. There he's like, he's like, oh, peaceful. I'm at the beach. I'm about to record. Like, where's she at? That she doesn't even know he's at the beach. And he has that boat. The fucking lights all around it. That boat. Damn.
So it looks like, what was the Hulk Hogan show where they rode the boat, the Thunder?
What was that called? I was going to say Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, no, it's not Tropic Thunder.
Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise. It was. That shit. Oh, I'm going to have to go watch some episodes of that.
So he's walking, like, Dr. Dre is on the patio getting ready to do some work, and he sees Jimmy Iovine walking down the beach because that's the neighborhood they live in.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, hey, Jimmy, and you want to come up? And Jimmy's like, yeah, I'll come up. And he comes up, and like, Dr. Dre's talking to him and saying, yeah, you know, Nike keeps calling me and they want me to make sneakers and do all this stuff. And he's like, I don't know, man. I don't want to do fashion. Like, I don't, like, that's just not my thing. I don't know anything about it. And then Jimmy Iovine says,
he came,
you know,
walking up the beach.
Fuck sneakers, do speakers.
Yeah.
Like, that was his,
he's like, that's your
that
thing.
Was his line.
And Dre was like, wait, can we do that? He's like, fuck yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, we can do that. And then Dre, like, thought about it for a while. And then 10 days later, Jimmy was like, hey, come over to the house. And, like, just had fucking speakers and headphones and fucking, like, sound design. Just had, like, a room full of shit.
He had every, you could look on that table. He had every, he had Sennheiser. Everyone was on that table. Shure was on that table.
Yeah.
Bear every dynamic, major manufacturer wanted to have something to do with that.
And he's like, so let's fucking take a look at it. And then they end up doing this, and they put it in like every Interscope video, someone's wearing Beats.
They said that they, every time he saw someone, he was like, had that shit in his bag. He's like, hey, put this on real quick, I'm taking your picture. It was like,
so everybody, every music star, every sports star, they ended up sending him, they sent Beats. This was fucking ingenious. They sent Beats that were designed for every different country to every member of every Olympic team in the world. So they would all show all up on Beats. Camera wearing Beats.
Conor McGregor had the Irish ones on.
Like, like they sent it to every NFL
and they
team.
Banned
they designed
them. They banned them,
and
said, from the Olympics.
They kept banning them, but they kept doing it. Yeah. NFL, everything. But every athlete, every musician, everybody was wearing
Anybody
Beats.
Anybody was going
to
be on TV.
So everybody wants to fucking buy Beats,
right?
Yeah. So all of a sudden, they go, the first year they did it, they sold 26,000 headsets. The second year they sold 1.5 million headsets.
That's insane.
And again, because of the connection, and they ended up doing Beats Audio, which was a streaming service that wasn't huge, but it was like doing some unique stuff.
Dude, all the laptops that came out of the manufacturer with Beats Audio built in. I really think it's like just branded and they put a sticker on it. I don't know though. They were showing them tuning cars.
That was a trip. Cause a friend of mine just recently bought a Jeep, and he had to go out of town to get the Jeep that he wanted and all this stuff. And like, when he got there, the salesman was like, plus the one that you got has like a Beats system.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't give a fuck about a Beats system. But then he said, when he got back home, he was like, okay, now I give a fuck about the Beats system.
Yeah.
But like,
it's,
you
like
see
a,
in
like
the
Bose back
in
the day,
exactly,
you know,
but like, in the documentary you see like every time they make a Beats edition of whatever car, Jimmy and
specific.
Dre sit in the car and mix the speakers and they'll play rock and they'll play classical and they'll play jazz and they'll play hip hop, and they mix the way the speakers are gonna work in the car to make it be a Beats car. So they're really hands on about the product. I've never listened to Beats headphones. I have no idea if they're any good.
A lot of
or
people
not.
Talk shit about them.
A lot of,
I mean, they're really
do.
Expensive. A lot of people do talk shit about them, say they're a piece of shit, but I don't know.
So, but
have you had Beats before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are they good or not?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. I mean, they have a good sound.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fucking headphones. Like, when you throw them in your backpack and smash them and set on them,
That's why I buy cheap headphones. Like literally the headphones I'm listening to right now are $15.
That's why when you buy good headphones, you don't throw them in your backpack and fucking carry them around. Like they're headphones. They're good headphones for a reason. I think
Dave's were $25. Yeah. Mine were $15. You bring
and when you're just listening to whatever, like it's whatever. You know?
Yeah.
So
no, these are special. They don't make these no more. These are.
Those aren't the ones you had the other day. Those are different. Yeah.
No, these are Shure's.
So they sell Beats. And again, keep in mind that Beats is owned by Jimmy and Dre, period. Right. They created it. It's their when they start it, the two of them 100% own Beats.
Right.
And they sell it to Apple for $3.2 billion.
And it almost got fucked up.
And it almost got fucked up because Dre
fucking
Tyrese was drunk. All this stuff. But it almost got fucked up because they were like putting it on blast on social media.
And Apple Supersequenav. Apple is super secretive about their deals, and that's what almost fucked it up. They were talking about they were the first billionaires, you know, this and that.
Right.
And,
But now it turns out they are.
Yeah.
I suspect Jimmy was probably already a billionaire before that deal, but maybe not.
Maybe a billion.
No, millions.
That's a thousand million. That's a lot.
He was a millionaire for sure.
Yeah,
billionaire.
For sure. So but that was, and whatever the fuck he does with it. And again, like even more recently, he found fucking Lady Gaga, saw her playing at clubs and was like, you're going to be fucking huge. 50 Cent, fucking Kendrick Lamar. Like, I mean, it's not like he stopped. Like he keeps signing massive
They
acts.
Said that in the docs. He said, I want to retire by the time I'm 40. And then he's like, I'll retire when I'm 50. And his wife's like, he's not going to do that. He has billions of dollars. He's just going to make something else.
What he fucking that
would
does.
Be me. That'd be me too. I would not, I would never stop. I would just have, I'm going to make this thing.
You just move into something else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But no, this, I mean, just amazing. Like the impact he's had more, I think he had more impact on music than any living person right now.
Yeah. It's so weird how the world works too, because he deserves so much credit. And you know who Bruce Springsteen is, but no one knows who he is.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know who people Dre are going to look at this. But you don't know who he is.
Yeah, they're going to look at this episode and be like, who the fuck is that?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't on the topic board.
But it's, again, it's like, I mean, granted, the the musicians at U2 are, the musicians in U2 are fucking geniuses.
Why is it wearing those hooker shoes then?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The musicians in U2 are geniuses, and it's their idea. But when you see the video footage of Jimmy sitting down with the Edge and Bono, he's like as much a part of that creation as anyone else.
That's why the producer gets a platinum plaque or a gold plaque or whatever, too.
Because they're like changing, the drums should come in here instead of there.
If the drums were a little bit too loud and it annoys everybody, that song's, nobody's going to fucking listen to it, you know?
Right, that's why you spend three weeks getting one drum sound.
Yeah, or, I mean, just the mixing of it and the way that it's laid out and what song goes into what, you know, all that part's producing, and you're just like producing a film, you know? You're setting up the cuts and you're doing stuff.
Right.
It's going to make that movie watchable for people.
Right.
And as opposed to somebody who sucks, you're going to be like, nah.
I think the other thing that's different about him and the reason that he's been so successful is he doesn't look at the musicians as just like part of the business and like they did their album, I'm done with them. Like he calls them every day.
Yeah.
Like everybody that he works with and signs are friends with him. They go over to his house and play football every
Sunday. That football thing was cool.
Like he invites him over to eat dinner. If they're in the same town he's in, they meet up. He calls them all the time. They're like best friends.
Yeah.
You know, like he and like you can see it in the film when he and Gwen Stefani are together, they are friends.
Right.
Like when he and Dre are together, they're like the fucking tightest of friends. Like just hanging out with each
it was his birthday toast but then his wedding P. Diddy showed up and said it was the blackest wedding he ever saw for some white people with the rabbi or some shit. I was like, that's funny.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so he's a very interesting character. You can find a lot of stuff on him online. That documentary is really good.
Totally. I mean, and we've talked about half of
it because the other half is all about Dr. Dre, and we really didn't talk too much about Dre,
and that's awesome too. Like that's a whole nother side. But third wife, Kendra G's.
Yeah.
Did you guys see anything about her?
I didn't see that.
Well, because pretty much everything he touched turned to gold.
Right.
But she was in the Spandex Kids back in the 80s.
Oh, I remember them.
They fucking sucked.
They were like the Solid Gold Dancers offshoot.
No. They sucked balls in porno films.
Oh.
Like that's what she did. She was a specialized ball sucker.
Mm.
She could suck a golf ball.
That's different than a fluffer. That's just, you don't even have a purpose. You just
suck the balls.
Yeah.
Off goats. Like they bring goats in. She'd practice sucking
on
goats.
They bring them. I love when they bring them.
They always bring them in. Yeah. Well, I mean, she was technically. They own the goats.
Was there another band member too?
Yeah, Sophie Jackson.
Oh.
She was the lead singer.
She was on Soul Train, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Spandex Kids, they formed back in 83.
I remember...
They toured a bunch of, like, circuses.
You said Sophie?
Sophie, yes.
Yeah, because she used to... she invented the headspin, like the breakdancing.
Oh, yeah,
headspin,
she did.
Because she had...
But it wasn't breakdancing, though.
Well, no, she did the breakdancing.
She always wore a helmet.
Because she had a big, huge afro, and they would, like, put, like, Pine Sol on it, and she would headspin all around the floor to clean the Soul Train dance floor.
That's true.
Yeah.
But after that, you hear what happened to her, right?
Mm-mm.
Well, she hit her head. And then they had to shave her afro, and she wore a helmet for the rest of her life.
Yeah. That's too bad.
She was a retard.
But we do appreciate her being a patron.
Yeah. I don't know how she operates a computer. It must be a specialty computer. Specialty. I see your face. A specialty computer.
Sheldon is a specialty computer.
So
check it out. Defiant Ones.
Yeah. Look up the Spandex Kids.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah. Well, they weren't that good, but they did suck balls and do head spins.
If you like that, they're good at it.
Yeah. Suck goat balls. But
sponsor time.
Yep.
I guess.
All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
That's good on balls.
That's our primary sponsor. Don't put on your balls. It will burn.
No, it will burn.
It's delicious for your partner. It's a rough time for you unless you're a sadist.
Yeah, don't put it on your meat curtains either. Yeah, unless you're a sadist, that'd be good.
Yeah, you put on the meat curtains.
Ooh.
It might look like carne asada, but it's going to feel like hell. Don't do it.
Look like carne asada. Put the black on it.
Yeah. Ooh. It's all smoky. It smells like fish and cigarettes.
That grossed me out.
They love us. Fish and cigarettes. El Yucateco on the cha-cha. So you can find them at most major grocery chains. They are available.
They stopped sponsoring us like a year ago. We just can't stop saying their name.
Yeah, I would just have to keep doing it. I love them. Yeah. I mean, we can't hold back. We have to do what we do. So
yeah.
They knew what they were getting into.
That's how we roll.
They knew what we were getting into.
If you're outside of the United States, there are websites, mexgrocer.co.uk. I know people get on Amazon. There was a Canadian a while back, some fucking weird one, like fireworks something. I don't know. If you're Canadian, you probably know what that means.
Yeah, it's probably a fucking money site.
El Yucateco Hot Sauce. Also, thank you to printdirtcheap.com. You can use code SOFAKING to save some money. They make stickers, any printed good, really. They can do banners, flyers, business cards,
big
stickers,
standees,
giant standees. Yeah, if it's not copyright infringing,
yeah,
they can do it.
Yeah, Gary Coleman standees, fuckers.
Also, thank you to De Leon Graphics for our t-shirts and koozies. That guy's missing in action. I'm slightly worried.
Who?
Chris De Leon.
Oh, Chris.
He hasn't been around. Yeah.
That's okay. We'll just find a new sponsor. Fuck off, Chris.
Ooh. So thank you to him, though, for now. And thank you to Digital Creations for the heat transfer mugs and goodies. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram, and they do ship stuff. They can put your grandma's face on a pillow or a dick at the same time.
Or your grandma's face on your pillow.
Yeah, your dick on your grandma's face on a pillow.
On your grandma's pillow.
Yeah. I don't know if they can do that, actually, because I think that the company might be like, no. I don't know.
I think you can figure it out.
Yeah.
You can have them do the grandma's face and then do like a print off of a dick and then put it on
there. Heat transfer on there.
Yeah, right on there.
It's a three-step process. We'll figure it out. Check out Digital Creations dick on quilt. Instagram and Facebook. Also, thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. Check out armhunter.com for apparel and instructional DVDs. And also, thank you to all the new patrons. We appreciate your support. You make this possible because poor Brad fucking is yawning right now. He leaves, has to upload, edit, and cut episodes and put them on the fucking server and drive out of town to his daily job. Dave over here is trying to rewrite books and publish shit and fucking teach college kids and prisoners at the same time. I'm running a computer shop. I'm fucking buried with crazy viruses above, and we all have families.
So we're not busy. This is all we do, really.
Yeah. We still have to study this shit and do it. So we really do appreciate that you guys support us, for all the people that have been supporting us for so long. But yeah, if you haven't donated to Patreon, you could only do a dollar and it would really help us out. We have, you know, like we have 1500 people in that fan group, 200 people on Patreon. I asked for some reviews a while back. If you give us a review, we had like 436 reviews. Once again, 1500 people in the group. I got 21 reviews when I asked, which I'm very grateful for. I am grateful.
Sounds like you're complaining,
but it did. It was lackluster.
With that group though, you can't really expect anything more out of them.
They're fucking
lazy, fucking cockeyed, fucking Willy Wonka motherfuckers, all dressed up in fucking rainbow flags.
What is happening? Willy Wonka rainbow flag, cockeyed motherfuckers.
That's you said it, not me.
I like this. I did repeat it. I did repeat it. You did say it too, though. But you're in charge of editing.
Yeah.
You just cut your part out, and yeah. I just said that.
I said it. I did say it. Yes, yes, you did. And so, you said the N-word for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, go ahead.
For the record, this episode did not need a disclaimer.
No. But the one before this, you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did just said hot sauce on your meat curtains and sucking balls and goat balls. Well, that's pretty
normal. Sure. Yeah.
Dave's late disclaimers.
Yeah, if you're under 30, you probably don't want to listen to this.
But also check out our merch. We have t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, koozies, all kinds of stuff, coffee mugs. It's SophieKingPodcast.com. And if you do listen, please subscribe. If you don't have iTunes, please just make an Apple ID and leave us a review. It helps. And hit subscribe. You can uninstall it and it'll still think you're subscribed, I think. I think that's how it works. I'm not sure. But we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, as long as your account's subscribed.
And go listen to some Dr. Dre and go listen to some... That was one thing that was slow is I had to keep stopping and listening to Dr. Dre and listening to U2 songs and listening to Patti Smith.
I almost
went and
listened to Stevie Nicks' song she wrote about Jimmy.
Yeah.
I didn't go listen to it, but I almost did that one.
But yeah, I did pause horrible.
Didn't make it on the charts.
If you haven't heard it, I recommend listening to Rock and Roll Nigger by Patti Smith because it's just a fucking fantastic song.
That one dude that got mad one time when I thought I was going to have to call the fucking, what was it?
Yeah, he's like, where's the black guy?
Yeah. It's like, what makes you guys think? What did I say? I was going to have to call for blackout. That's what it was. Yeah.
Call for blackout. Because
there's a black guy that gets real mad when that word comes out on our podcast.
And he's white, too. I got on there. Was he white? No, he was black.
Yeah.
Well, but that is the name of us. Anyone can say the name of that song.
What tier was he?
Like Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's color. I'm talking about tier. See, you're still confused. Anyway.
Well, I'm scared if I say anything about what tier he was. It's going to come across as racist.
Well, you said he was like tier...
He might have hung out with Dre. Let's just say that at some point in time in the early days. I was going to say one more thing. Oh, thank you. Go check out All Things Star Wars Podcast. That's my buddy's podcast. And I told him to give him a shout out. Also, if you haven't heard Breakers Podcast, go check them out as well. And podcast we listen to with Jeremy Collins is also a fun
listen. Who's that?
He interviews other podcasts.
Sounds boring.
Yeah. And we have committed to going to, where is that place at?
Louisiana. Somewhere.
Louisiana, yeah.
New Orleans.
They have a lot to of hot New Orleans sauce. They got barbecue sauce in Louisiana.
For the Potter and Love, we're going to do a live podcast.
Are we?
In New Orleans. And also, I'm going to find this out. I got to talk more. Dave kind of made it seem solidified, but it sounds like we may have an opportunity to do a meetup at any of the House of Blues. Does that sound right, Dave?
Yes.
So I'm going to talk to them.
Here we come.
And what I was thinking about doing is making a poll, and then you guys can say, hey.
Dance on it.
This is how many people. Yeah, dance on this poll. But if you
there's going to be 1,500 people in the group, and 21 are going to
post on
that
is exactly what will happen.
And then it's going to be all different places, so we're just going to have to pick.
It's a bunch of our fans don't have fingers, and they can't press it. They can't press like. They can't press subscribe.
They just have knuckles.
Yeah. Use your something. Knuckles. If you don't have fingers, use your knuckles
nose,
to subscribe and say
your nose.
Going.
Or if you're well endowed, your dick can press enter, can move
I try
a mouse.
I use my dick to press the buttons on the phone. It doesn't work the same.
Fuck this! Oh, this is your computer today. God
your
damn
vit.
It!
Yes,
your vit.
Yes, my vit.
Yep,
my prick.
Damn it!
All right, that's all I got. Yeah, I've been talking a lot.
All right, don't be retarded.
God. Goodness gracious, I can't wait to see the look on y'all niggas' faces. That boy T Nut surprises thoughts isn't chafing and fucking brackets up at Mountain Dew. Niggas is racist. Cabbage was made, critic faggots were shook. So I told him that I'll exchange the word faggot with book. And all them books is pissed off and at they page in a bunch. Fucking attitude switches like a book with a shirt. But I'm a fraud, I pray to God when a six triple book bashing while me and my favorite author lives tickle. Peter Parker, pick a pack of peppers when the plot thickens. Tyler, the creator, fucking kill you with a pot sickle. Cold blooded, so we rock mittens so they won't find him. Not kidding, keep the Tommy on me, bitch, I miss pickles. Said I seen off, last time the team talked. Sick of making niggas cabbage, so I took the cream off. Should've bought some stock in it.
I get it, put stock in it.
Not a golf one, the little homies don't wait. Let's weigh my options. I bought me a mansion, and bought some attention. Be giving them the Hobson, and dear boy swatkin'. Why you mad? It's the slave in me. It's facts, boy, I'm back like Rosa Parks. They favorite seat. Videos, stays died, pop-ups, they watch your team. While y'all niggas watching the throne be watching me.
There are so many fucking kids right now listening to this guy. Get those wings flapping, motherfucker! Cause this kid's ready to fucking
fly. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Nigga, nigga on the wall. Rap bars,
jail bars. Die and shoot a basketball. Tyler the dark skin arrested and ousted. Cops knew who I was because his kids at the show was awesome. How many leaders in the house? Well, can't somebody bring the mirrors out? I'm getting lonely. Likes and apologies and snaps make it obvious that everybody on this fucking planet lacking confidence. How many leaders in the house?
I mean, this is a blessing and an honor. We have the Mr. Tyler, the Creator, here.
Oh, no, man. Thank you guys for having me. It is an honor to sit and share my beautiful vibes with all these beautiful black people and just dance.
Where are you from, man? We, you know, tell us something about yourself.
Well, I'm from Hawthorne, California. And I've recently just turned 24 years old. I've been making music since I was 8 years old. And now I'm here with my beautiful band.
It's a beautiful thing. And I mean, you've got all these instruments, man.
Oh, man, yeah, I just want to just show everybody that, hey, man, I love music. You know, they try to pigeonhole me in this rap box, and it's just like, no, man, I love sound. And Roy Ayers is on the original, on the album, but he couldn't make it today. But we'll, right. He's in our spirits.
And tell me the name of the song that you're going to be performing today.
The composition we will be performing today is called Find Your Wings.
Find Your Wings, that's a nice name. Tell me the inspiration, man.
Oh, man, I just wanted, you know, to make something that inspires people. And hey, if you're having a bad day, it's okay. Don't run it off. You a bird. You're supposed to fly.
All right, all right.
Yes.
This is Tyler the Creator, everybody.
Yes, yes.
Give it up. Thank you.
Take control.